Well, our scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Jared and his dad were playing a game of catch in the front yard one afternoon, and Jared seemed a little bit distracted, and he was, as it turned out, because he said, "Dad, is there a God?" Whoa. Now Joe flashed through his mind, remembering that same helpless feeling he experienced on the high school baseball team when he lost the sight of a fly ball in the blazing sun. He didn't know whether to move forward or step back or move to the side, so he just stood there. And as he was reviewing this question in his mind as quickly as he could, trying to come up with a satisfactory answer, "Dad, is there a God?" a string of trite answers raced through his mind. But in the end, Joe opted for honesty, and he said, "I don't know, Jared." Well, Joe's agnosticism failed to stifle his son's curiosity, and Jared dug a little deeper with the next question. "Well, if there is a God, how would you know it?" "I really don't have any idea, Jared. I only went to church a couple of times, and that was when I was a kid. So I don't know a lot about these kinds of things." Well, they continued to play catch for a little bit, but Jared still seemed deep in thought, and pretty soon he threw down his ball with the glove in it, his glove with the ball in it, and started heading for the house. And his dad says, "Jared, where are you going?" He says, "Don't go away. I'll be right back, Dad. I got to get some things." And so he was in the house for not too long, and he came back with a balloon fresh from the circus, you know, one of those balloons filled with helium. And he had a note card and a pen. His dad says, "What in the world are you doing with those?" And Jared said, "I'm going to send an email to God. Airmail, that is." Before Joe could protest, Jared started writing on the index card. And so Joe just came over and looked over his shoulder and saw what he was writing. And Jared was writing, "Dear God, if you are real and if you are there, then send people who know you to Dad and me." Well, Joe kept his mouth shut, not wanting to dampen his son's enthusiasm, thinking, though, "This is silly," as he helped Jared fasten the card to the balloon. But still, silly as it was, he thought, "But God, I hope you're watching and listening and get this airmail." And after Jared let the balloon go, Dad and son stood there with their faces to the sky and watched it sail away. Well, 2 days later, Joe and Jared pulled into a free car wash that a church was holding as part of an outreach program into the community. As they got close to the place where they were going to be cleaned, Joe asked, "How much?" And the man said, "It's free. No strings attached." "Really?" Joe exclaimed. Now he, like us, was intrigued by getting something for nothing. That always makes it better. But he had to ask, "But why are you doing this?" And the man said, "We just want to show you God's love in a practical way." Now, it was as if that statement had opened a hidden door to Joe's heart, and the look on his face was incredible. "Wait a minute," he said. "Are you guys Christians?" "Well, yes, we are Christians," the man said. "Are you the kind of Christians that believe in God?" the man did just like I heard over here, a little chuckle. And he said, yes, we're that kind of Christians. And after directing a grin at his son, Jared, Joe proceeded to tell the story of releasing that helium balloon with its message only days earlier. He said, I guess you're the answer to one of the strangest prayers that God has ever received. Folks, that's the story of a church in Ohio, the one given the free car washes. A church is committed to what they call servant evangelism. Now, servant evangelism is demonstrating the kindness of God by offering to do some act of humble service with no strings attached. Jesus, in Matthew 10:42, when he speaks of sharing a cup of cold water, is speaking of the practicality of living the Christian life. Christianity and our relationship with God is personal, but it's not meant to be private. Our life with God is a life that is designed to touch others in practical ways. Well, how do we do that? How do we share God? How can we touch others in practical ways? Well, first, we need to do the small things to show the main thing of God's love at work. There's a moral / ethical dilemma question that sometimes in ages past you might have heard on a job application interview. It's a what would you do challenge. You're driving in your car on a wild, stormy night, and you pass by a bus stop and you see three people waiting for the bus. It's not one of these bus stops where it's all covered up and everything. It's the old-fashioned kind where you just stand by the pole. The three people there are an old woman who looks as if she's about to die. And then the second person is an old friend who once saved your life. And the third person standing waiting on that bus that stormy night is the perfect woman or man that you have been dreaming about. That one true love. And the question is this: which one would you choose to offer a ride to, knowing that there could only be one passenger in your car? You could pick up the old woman because she's going to die, and thus you'd have a chance to save her life. Or you could take your friend because he once saved your life, and this would be a perfect chance to pay him back. But the more you think about it, you know, you may never be able to find your perfect dream lover again. Well, one person had no trouble coming up with the answer, and I love what they came up with. He simply answered this way: I would give the keys to my car to my old friend and let him take the lady to the hospital. And I would stay behind and wait for the bus in the rain with the woman of my dreams. Never forget to get out of the box. Never forget to think out of the box. Jesus challenges his disciples and us in Matthew 10 and in other places to do small things to show the main thing of God's love at work. In Matthew 10, it's giving a cup of cold water. In John 13, the night before he dies, Jesus washes his disciples' feet and then challenges them to love one another. He then makes this observation in John 13, everyone will know that you are my disciples because of your love for each other. Do the small thing to show the main thing of God's love at work. You see, we never fully know what small act of kindness will touch and how it will transform a life. John Bose, chairman of the parent company of Whammo, the maker of Frisbees, once participated in a charity effort. He sent, on behalf of his company, thousands of plastic flying discs to an orphanage in Angola, Africa. He thought the children there would enjoy playing with them, a break in the monotony of life. And several months later, a representative of Bose's company visited that orphanage, and one of the nuns thanked him profusely for the wonderful plates, that his company had sent them. She told this man that the children were eating off the frisbees, carrying water with them, even catching fish with them. And when the representative explained how the frisbees are intended to be used, the nun was even more delighted that the children would now be also able to enjoy them as toys. You never fully know how a life will be touched by a small act of kindness. Jesus gives us a hint of the impact that doing the small thing to show the main thing of God's love at work can have. Then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you, and you have blessed others. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. For you see, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. And when I was sick, you came to visit me. And when I was in jail, you came to visit me." And then the ones who pleased the Lord will ask him, bewildered, "Lord, when did we give you something to eat or drink? I don't remember welcoming you as a stranger. We've always known you. Never given you any clothes to wear, never visited you in jail or come to see you when you're sick. When did we do these things for you?" And the king will answer, "Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seem, then you did it for me." How do you share Jesus? Do the small things to show the main thing of God's love at work. And then also understand simple acts done with great love will change the world. Baron de Rothschild was one of the richest men who ever lived. Legend has it that he once posed for an artist. He posed as a beggar. And while the artist was painting him, the financier sat before him in rags and tattered clothes, holding a tin cup. Now, a friend of the artist came and shared some business with him and saw the Baron, but he was so well disguised that the man didn't recognize him for who he really was. Thinking that he was really a beggar, the visitor dropped a coin into the cup. Now, 10 years later, the man who gave the coin to Rothschild received a letter containing a banknote for 10,000 francs and the following message: "You one day gave a coin to Baron de Rothschild in the studio of Ari Scheffler. He, the Baron, has invested that coin and today sends you the capital with you that which you entrusted to him, along with the interest that has compounded over the years. A good action always brings good fortune. Signed, Baron de Rothschild." Jesus puts it this way: "Whoever gives any of my humble followers a cup of cold water will certainly never lose his reward." Simple acts done with great love will change the world. But just think of how God came into this world. Not with bells and whistles, not riding on horses with trumpets blaring. No, he came as a simple baby. He touched people at the point of their need, not just to heal them physically or to lift their spirits, but to change their lives. He gave his life on the cross to pay for our sins and to change the world with his love. God was aware that we would never get this on our own. And so he sent the Holy Spirit to lead us to faith. and to change our hearts. And he sent us people who touched our hearts with his love. You see, God desires to use you and me with simple acts done with great love to change the world. In the Middle East, the peace process, after all my life, I guess, is still nowhere. Palestinians carry out suicide bombings, and Israeli military retaliates, and the temperature seems to continue to rise. Jesus was once asked what it meant to love one's neighbor. And there's a lot of times when the questions were asked of Jesus, the guy asking this question figured that he was already doing a good deal here, and so he was hoping to look good in front of his buddies. Well, Jesus tells the story then of the Good Samaritan. And if he were speaking to Jewish audience in Israel today, it would be the parable of the good Palestinian. A man traveling along the road is mugged, robbed, and left for dead. Two fellow Jews eventually came by across the street and ignored the man in need. Instead, it was a Samaritan, the Jews' number one enemy of the time, who stopped and cares for this man, bandages him up, gets him to a hotel room to recover, and then picks up his bill since he knows the HMO wouldn't. And then Jesus asks his questioner, of these three people, who do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by robbers? And the expert said, well, the one that was kind enough to help him. And Jesus said, go and imitate his example. Israel and Palestine's hope for peace will require that kind of love. Simple acts done with great love will change the world. God's simple act of Christ's death offers to change our world and invites us to reach out and to change the world of others by sharing his love in practical ways. How do you share Jesus? Well, we need to also realize that your service power is not based on who you are, but it's based on who Jesus is through you. Oh, we can get caught up in the guilt of not doing enough to show that love, or feeling horrible of how inadequate our love might seem. The challenge is often that we try to love under our own power. But the power to share Jesus in practical ways comes from Christ. Paul knew this. Even when imprisoned, he knew and experienced the power of Christ at work. That's why he tells the Philippians and us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A Sunday school teacher asked her class, if I sold all the things in my house, and sold my house included and my car and everything, and gave it all to the church, would I get into heaven? Well, children, being more astute and honest than we are, thought that was kind of silly as they laughingly shouted out, no. And so the teacher said, if I cleaned the church every day and mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would I get to heaven then? And the kids, still laughing, said, no. Sorry, Doug. So she finally asked, and I know you've heard this before, well, how do I get to heaven? And one little kid in the back of the room shouted, you got to be dead. We get into heaven not by what we do, but what Christ has done for us. The power of the life we live in love toward God and others flows out of God working in our hearts. Jesus, the night before he dies, prays for this to happen in our lives when he prays, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one in heart and mind with us. that the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. Nike commercials challenge us to just do it. Sharing Jesus in practical ways with a cup of cold water or a meal started by the Methodist women for the community, or with words of prayer on Tuesday night, or in the prayer group on Tuesday night, or the worship service, or in the card ministry, or simple acts of sharing Jesus with others through a listening ear, or providing a ride to the doctor, and in so many other ways is a call, just do it. And yet we need to always remember why we just do it. Our actions flow out of the realization that Jesus did it. He died for us. He gives us life. He challenges us to live out our purpose, not in only big moments of life, but also in the little small times and opportunities that He presents as well. Even a cup of cold water given in His name. For we do the small thing to show the main thing of God's love at work. We understand simple acts done with great love will change the world. We realize that our service power is not based on who we are, but who Jesus is as He works through us. Those small, simple acts done in love seem so small, yet when you realize God is at work through them, you discover the great life of sharing Jesus in practical ways. Know God's love. Let that love transform your life. And as each one of you is transformed, changed from who you are today into what God wants you to be, then the congregation at St. Matthew's will change, and the community around us will be transformed, and on and on. Know God's love, and know the joy that comes from sharing that love with others. Amen.